Thank you, Brother Claiborne.
Everybody shouted amen. Somebody asked me today, they said, where are you from? I said, I'm from Texas. We are thrilled and happy to be here in California. My, my, my. Y'all know how to put it on top shelf. I appreciate everything that everybody has said and done for my wife and I since we have been here. I tell you what, California has given to America Hollywood, the Golden Gate Bridge, Alcatraz, the Redwood Forest, San Diego, from the north to the south, all across this state, the lookout world, California's giving you something else. And it's freedom in the Holy Ghost. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Power like you've never seen before. In 1849, it was a gold rush. And everybody's talking about California. 1995, it's the Holy Ghost rush. And everybody's talking about the West Coast. Revival. Church growth. Evangelism. Young people on fire, believing God for anything and everything. Hallelujah. Again, let me say it's our privilege to be here. You may be seated. This is my wife, Gayla Foster. Let's worship with her as she sings.
As I wait upon you, Lord, I grow stronger, yeah. As I wait upon you, Lord, I grow stronger. Ooh, as I wait upon you, Lord, I grow stronger every day, yeah, every day. Oh, as I wait upon you, Lord, I grow stronger. Yes, I wait upon you, Lord, I grow stronger. Yes, I wait upon you, Lord, I grow stronger every day. Yes, I wait upon the Lord, I grow stronger, do you believe it? Ooh, as I wait upon the Lord, I grow so much stronger. As I wait upon the Lord, I grow stronger every day. Every day. In her nest, I'm growing stronger to soar the winds of life from here to yonder. I'm going through the clouds with ease, with God's Spirit, God's Spirit, God's Spirit dwelling within me. Yeah, dwell within me. I'm gonna fly like the eagle. on the Lord, I grow stronger. Do you believe it?
Do you believe it?
Oh, as I wait upon Jesus, I grow stronger. Oh, as I wait, I grow stronger every day.
Chapter 13. While you're traversing the pages of the Word, let me again say how honored and blessed I am to be here tonight. We honor the Lord Jesus and all that, and those that are in leadership. District has great, tremendous preachers, leadership. United Pentecostal Church looks in this direction. 1 Kings chapter 13. We're going to start our reading at verse 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Drop with me, if you would, to verse 11. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. And his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. the words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. Then he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may drink bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. And so he went back with him and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. I want to preach tonight, Judah or Bethel. Judah or Bethel. Now, Lord God, we are careful to give you all praise. We are thankful for this host of young people and leadership that are gathered tonight. I have been blessed, O God, by this service. It has already ministered. But now, O God, I pray, it has fallen my lot to preach, that you would take these humble and feeble words and anoint them. Anoint those who hear. God, let us not just be hearers, but let us be doers of your word. And I give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Bless you. Please be seated. Now I come to you tonight with this subject, Judah or Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. It's a house where God's presence is. It's different from any other kind of house. There are different happenings that happen in God's house. That's Bethel, God's house. Good things happen when you go to God's house. Great expectations come in God's house. Miracles, wonders, great things happen at God's house. God's house is not limited just to a building or structure. God's house is much more than metal and steel, wood, carpet, chandeliers. God's house can be on the banks of a river in South America. God's house can be on the plains in Ethiopia. God's house can be a cold 100-year-old cathedral in Europe. God's house can be in California, Florida, Texas, New Mexico, Minnesota, New York. It doesn't matter. God's house is where two or three are gathered together in His name. God's house is where just one, two, it doesn't matter, it could be thousands. But God's house is where people began to praise God. And the psalm writer said that God literally dwells, or lives, or sits on the throne. He lives in the praises of His people. Hallelujah. You don't have to have a cathedral. You don't have to have the crystal chandelier. You don't have to. It can be in a prison house. It can be shut up on the backside of nowhere. It can be with a nobody. But you'll always be a somebody when you make up your mind, I'm going to God's house. Come on, it could be a mud adobe house. It could be a $2 million edifice. It could be in the back piney woods of East Texas. Or it could be on the main street of L.A. It doesn't matter if you're black. It don't matter if you're white or brown. It don't matter your nationality, your race, creed, or color. All you've got to do is make up in your mind, I've come to a place where I'm going to worship, where I'm going to praise, where I'm going to magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's God's house. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God's house. Oh, I like the sound of that. It's not your house. It's not my house. It's not just the young people's house. It's not just the church house. But it's for the sinner in the road. Hallelujah. It's for the high. It's for the low. It's for the rich. It's for the poor. It's for whosoever will. You don't have to have a pedigree. You don't have to have a name. You don't have to be a somebody. You don't have to have it all put together. You can have nothing. But if you'll go to God's house, if you'll go where God is, if I'm not talking about going over to so-and-so's house. I'm not talking about going over there where this one is or that one. I'm not talking about the big upshot media star, but I'm talking about God's house. I'm talking about the lily of the valley. I'm talking about the bright morning star. I'm talking about the one who stepped out on the edge of nothing, but just with mere words, he began to speak. And with just words, he began to create. I'm talking about God that can take nothing and make something. At God's house. You may be seated. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 19 tells us in Bethel that there was angels in a dream to Jacob, that they were ascending and descending on a ladder that stretched from heaven to earth. There's always a ladder from heaven to earth in God's house. Oh, if you ever need to get through to God, go to God's house. And the Lord spoke to Jacob. And he said, I am with thee. I will keep thee. I will bring thee. And I will not leave thee. That's at God's house. Friend, mankind will fail you. Come on, young people. Institutions are going to let you down. Government, it will fail.
But there's one thing that'll never fail. That's one thing God cannot do. In fact, He don't know how to do it. It's not in His vocabulary. God cannot, will not, He won't do it. He just can't do it. It's beyond His reasoning. It's beyond His power. He can't do it. There's no way, no way, no way. God cannot fail. It don't matter where you come from tonight. He is telling you, I am with thee. I'm going to keep you. I will bring you. I will not leave you. And you find that at God's house. You may be seated. God's house is a place of blessing. God's house. Friend, when you need an escape to get out of the pressures of the world, it's not time to go home and shut the door. It's not time to go to the beach. It's not time to run to the mountain hideaway. It's not time to go in the crowd at the mall. But I'll tell you where you need to go. You need to get to God's house. You need to get to God's house. You need to get to where one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, Bible-believing holiness is preached. You need to get somewhere where somebody knows. It's not my house, it's not your house, but it's God's house. And it's a place of blessing. It's a place of vision. Oh, I want God. I want God to touch some young person tonight that's come in and you're weary. You're struggling. You don't know if you can make it. But God is telling you, at this conference, 1995, I'm going to keep you. I'm going to bring you. I will never leave you. I am with you. You are mine and I am yours. You're not by yourself. You're not alone. You're not a castaway. You're not forgotten. You are not just an afterthought. But God is telling us He created the world as a backdrop to paint His church into. He is concerned about you. He knows where you are. And He's saying, I am with you. Come on, clap your hands to God and give Him praise. I'm telling you, you find it at God's house. It's a place of vision. It's a place of blessing. Don't forget it. Don't neglect it. You've got to have Bethel. You need Bethel. You need her blessings. You need her vision. Blessings and vision. Genesis chapter 35. Verses 1 through 15, we find here that Jacob puts away the foreign gods and he purifies himself. We find here in Genesis 35 that his mother's lifelong nurse has died. And she's buried underneath or below Bethel. He purifies himself, his family, and his household. And it's at Bethel. And then God gives him a promise that He had already made to Abraham and Isaac. And now He gives it to Jacob. And He says, it's yours. Because what you have done at Bethel. Bethel is not only a place of blessing and vision, but it's a place of consecration. It's a place of dedication. It's a place where we draw close to God, and God draws close to us. It's a place of cleansing. I'm preaching tonight. We need to go to God's house and make commitment and make devotion and make consecration and make dedication that we are not our own, that we have been bought with a price, and we have a purpose, and we have a reason, and there is a job and a mission that we must be loyal to. Devotion and consecration are necessary ingredients for a child of God to be able to stand the winds and the storms of this old world. But when you are devoted, when you are committed, when you have consecrated, you have put down roots that will give you wings, that you'll mount up and soar to the uppermost parts of the sea. I'm preaching tonight about God's house. We need Bethel. We must have Bethel. It's revival by dedication. It's a move of God by consecration. It's moving hands of God in the lives of young people. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 4 gives us the testimony of Jacob. The testimony of his grandpa Abraham was that he built altars. The testimony of his daddy Isaac was that he dug and even redug wells. What is the testimony of Jacob? It says here that he had power with God. But how did he have that power? It says at Bethel, by his own strength, he had power with God. The altars and the wells of salvation that had been handed to him by the vision and the blessings and the consecration, commitment, and dedication of generations who had gone before him, now demanded of him that he give a testimony and loyalty. He said to my grandpa, to my daddy, but more than all of that, to the God that they served, he said, I'll give this testimony by the strength that I have in my body. I'm not going to use it for anything else. I'm not going to spend it on anything else. I'm not going to allow myself to be wasted upon anything else. But I'm going to, by my own strength, by my own effort, by my own choice, by my own effort, I'm going to have power with God. Come on, from the balcony high to the platform way down here. It's not enough have to come sit on a pew. It's not enough to just come to the house of God. It's not enough just to say, here I am. But when we get to the house of God, I said, when we get to the house of God, we got to do something with our strength. Come on, youth convention, 1995. I'm challenging you tonight. By your strength, have power with God. Hey, they can fill this Coliseum with all kinds of people, but there's never been any more power in this house than when the apostolics gather together and make up in their mind, I'm going to use what I got. I'm going to take what I got. Hallelujah. I may not be able to play this piano bold. I may not be able to spank that organ or wear out those drums or blow the horns or pound on a bass. God knew that I couldn't sing, and He called me to preach, and He gave me a wife who was called to sing. But let me tell you something. Just because I can't do any of that, that don't make me any less in the eyes of God. Because when I get to the house of God, you know, I like this corner right over here. I don't know. Oh, that's loud. I'll walk behind it next time. I don't know what this corner is called. It's got the great state of California flag. And it's a little darker over here than it is out there. But I hereby Christian this corner to be called Shouters Corner. Dancers Corner. You see, I may not be able to do anything else, but when I get to the house of God, there's one thing I can do. I can get out here and I can shout and I can dance and I can pick up my heels and I can praise God. I can run. I can leap for joy. I can dance. Hallelujah. Hey, tonight, we ought to pack this place out right up here with shouters and dancers and praisers unto the Most High. I'll take care of you. Now, let me tell you, everything, it's got to be done decent and in order. There's some high-priced equipment over there that we don't want to pay for. So don't blame it on the Spirit if you put your foot through it. That's your fault. Oh, don't y'all go get quiet on me now. Your spirit has got to be subject. You're going to shout and you're going to dance. You don't have to knock one another over. You don't have to hurt yourself. And you don't have to hurt the equipment. But go ahead and shout. Go ahead and dance. Go ahead and leap for joy. Take your lap. It's the house of God. And there's victory and joy and strength. I'm talking about the house of God. He said by His strength, He had power with God. Peter and John were going up to pray. But as they come along, they found somebody sitting there by Gate Beautiful. And he was begging. Peter looked at him and said, "Silver and gold have I none. But I want to tell you something. I got a hold of some power. I got a hold of something that's bigger than I am. I got a hold of something that's greater." Come on, I'm talking about the house of God. I'm talking about the house of God. They were on their way. Hadn't even got there yet. And he reached down. And he said, "Silver and gold have I none. But I laid hold on some power. And Jesus Christ said, greater things than these shall you do. And I watched him do it. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up from there and walk." And the Bible says, they went walking and leaping into the house of God. I want to know, how did he which was lame, how did he get up and walk and leap? It was the power of the mighty God in Bethel. Be seated. Be seated. Be seated. You know, I wish things could always stay the same when it's going our way. I wish we could always have Youth Convention 95 attitude and feeling and environment all year long. Boy, then we'd knock the devil crazy. Boy, if it could be like this every Sunday, if it could be like this every Monday, I mean, if every Thursday was like this, I mean, look out, hell, we'll charge you and all your fire and all your demons with a water pistol in the name of Jesus. But alas, things don't always stay the same. So Samuel, the great prophet of God with miracles, gave way to wayward kings. Strength has a way of decaying, and day does give away to night, and life, it does demand a coffin in death. And somebody got in a rut. And somebody forgot the freshness of new manna.
And somebody decided man's ways were all right. Somebody got caught up in the routine. And another generation said, it's boring. And it's like a chore. And pride raised her arrogant head. Selfishness stood tall and drew her sword and said, I must taste the blood. Arrogancy demanded his way and said, I'll have it. And Jeroboam came to the throne of Judah. And it was, of Israel. And here we find the good kings have passed. Jeroboam literally means the people's way, or the way of the flesh. And the Bible says that he lifted his hand against the king. And he went to Bethel and he set up an idol. A golden statue. And he said, it will be similar to the worship that they do in Judah. We will command and institute and ordain a feast. And it will be like, and this is exactly what the Bible says, the one in Judah. And he was saved. And at this time, it was the Feast of Tabernacles. And he said, this is the God that brought you up out of Egypt. And let's celebrate the going out of Egypt. And let's celebrate the victory. But let's not do it just like they're doing it in Judah. But it will be similar. Except instead of the worship of Jehovah, it'll be this golden calf. And he set it up. The Bible says in two different places, maybe three, that he made the lowest of them priests. What that literally means in the Bible is that it can be anybody from any tribe. It don't matter. You just show up. And if the price is right, and if you will take the job for the price that Jeroboam would pay, you get to be priest. And you can minister at the golden calf. And so they gathered and they would celebrate. They would dance around that calf and they would fast and feast and they would have themselves a time in Bethel. The house of God. The place of blessing and vision. Consecration and dedication and commitment and power became known as a place of idol worship. A place to go to spend yourself, your time, your talent, and your treasure worshiping the idols. It is no reason and wonder, Brother Cantrell, why in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 23 and 24, it tells us that the youth that came from Bethel rose up against Elisha and said, "Oh, bald head." And they mocked him. And they made fun of him. The place where ministry was held in high accord at one time. The place where God blessed and God's presence was there in abundance and vision was given and consecration and dedication and commitment was made and where the power of God was. Now a prophet of the stature of Elisha would be mocked and made fun of. And jeered, and they would come from Bethel. Jeremiah, Hosea, Amos, and other men of God denounced Bethel, denounced the house of God because of her idol worship. Corrupt priesthood. No vision, no anointing, no prayer, no praise, no worship to the mighty God. All politics and all criticism. Come on, young people. Into that type of a house of God, God looked down and He found a young man. The Bible says he was a young prophet, a prophet from Judah. Judah means praise. Judah hidden. Connotes a sense of victory and freshness and vibrancy. Something had not changed. Somebody had handed a torch to a young man in Judah, and he still heard from God, and there was a touch, and God spoke to him. Said, "Go to Bethel. Go to Bethel and lift up your voice and speak my word against the altar of Bethel." I'm so glad there are still people of Judah. Judah, all the praising, that worshiping bunch. Judah, he's the one who saved Joseph's life. Judah, the birthright, it seems, of his father is given unto him. The Messiah would come from Judah. Judah was loyal to David when others were not. How many times do we read in the pages of Scripture when everything else had failed, when everything else was against them, when they were outnumbered, when they were outmaneuvered, they just lived up to their name of Judah and would just praise and worship and live for God. And God gave them victory. Hear me tonight. Oh, it's great and it's wonderful to have all of the blessings and the vision that Bethel can bring. It's powerful and it's a must. And we've got to lift up our eyes and look upon the fields that are white already under harvest. We need the vision of Bethel. We need the blessings of Bethel. We've got to have that of Bethel. We need her consecration and her dedication, and we've got to have her power. But if there's no worship, if there's no praise, if it's a rut and a routine, and it becomes just a tradition, and it becomes just mere calisthenics, it just becomes a going through the motion. And when anybody can be a priest, and when anybody can be anointed, and if everything's okay, and everything's accepted, hear me. We need the fresh power of praise. We've got to have that blessing that blows in every now and then. You see, when this young priest came in and he cried against the altar of Bethel, the priest looked up. Or the king. The king came first. And the king said, come home with me. Let me give you a steak dinner. Let me put some money in your pocket. Let me give you something to drink. Let me treat you right. You're okay. Just don't worry about what you're saying at that altar today. Judah looked back. Judah looked back at the king and said, uh-uh. No way. I was told not to eat or drink. I was told to go home another way. I was told not to do that. And so, no way, King. I can't go with you. Now you watch old Jeroboam. When he can't get him one way, hook or crook, he'll try another. And young people, you're at youth convention 95 and you're high and you're pumped and oh, you're inspired. And I mean, it's shouting and running and jumping and praising and having victory. And anybody can do that at youth convention. Anybody can do that here. But when you're back home, you may be one of the few, or you may be one of many, but friend, you can have the same power and the same glory and the same anointing. But they're going to, that old devil, the evil one, his imps, the evil spirits, they're going to try to tell you, sit down, be quiet, don't act that way. It's just the pastor. That's just the pastor. You don't have to do that. You don't have to act that way. But Judah says, no way. Devil, one time you were the one who led the worship and the praise in heaven. But you lost your vision. You got in a rut. You became routine with it. And it got boring. But not to me. I'm going to keep on praising. I'm going to keep on giving Him glory. I'm going to keep on giving Him honor. Come on, right now. The struggle is between Bethel that's stuck in her old ways, Bethel that has no vision, Bethel that has no anointing, Bethel that has no vessel of honor. But friend, there's a Judah that's saying, I've got a vision. I've got some glory. I've got a touch of heaven. I've got something from God. Are you going to be content with that old spirit? That old set down spirit. That old spirit that says it's enough. That we're contented. We've got enough revival. We've got enough new converts. We've got enough on fire young people. We've got enough prayer. Are you going to be satisfied with the king and the priesthood of Bethel that says, let's just keep on doing it our way? No! God says, Judah! 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 Lift up your voice! Lift up your anthems! Lift up your song! Tell your message! Come on, young people. That's why we worship. That's why we praise. That's one reason why we give them the dance and the shout. It's revival time. It's revival time. It's victory time. It's soul winning time. Bethel says no revival. Judah says revival till he comes. Bethel says the miracles are behind us. Judah says, I'm a miracle and I'm going to find me another one. Bethel says, sit down. Judah says, no way. I've got to praise him. My Lord, have mercy. When the devil comes around and that old spirit of Bethel descends upon you and says, there's no way you can have your breakthrough. There's no way you can have your revival. There's no way you can have that miracle. There's no way that the lame can walk. There's no way that the dead can get up. There's no way that the deaf are going to hear and the dumb going to talk. That's when you say, no way, devil. I've got a spirit of Judah. I got a spirit of Judah. I got a spirit of Judah. Young people, thank God for our elders who have gone before us and they blazed a trail and they've kept the spirit of Judah alive. It would have been easy to give an end to Bethel, but they kept fighting. They kept believing. They kept demonstrating His power. They kept Judah alive, and they're handing it to this generation now. Come on, by His strength, He had power with God. Sit down, and we're just about home. We're almost through. Oh, I feel it moving in that balcony. Come on. Clap your hands in that balcony. I feel the Holy Ghost moving up there. There's miracles up there right now tonight. You can receive your healing. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Doubt. Those cataracts of doubt and unbelief can be cut away by that skillful surgeon in the Holy Ghost and revival and victory. Hallelujah. Jonah disobeyed God. And if you would allow me, he had the spirit of Bethel. And he disobeyed God. He went away from God. He went away from God. He went in just the opposite direction. But hear me. In the bottom of a ship. And then tossed into the bottom of the ocean. And then swallowed up. And in the bottom of a whale. Something got a hold of Jonah. Let me tell you something. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where what's been going on around you. You can have the seaweed of unbelief. You can have the smell and the stench of the inner whale of rebellion. But if you will pray, if you will pray, if you will pray, and begin to thank God and praise God, the spirit of Judah and Jonah in the belly of a whale, wrapped up with seaweed and the stench of that belly, began to pray. And the Bible said he thanked God. He began to praise. And Judah, something got a hold of that whale. Something made that whale get sick. Listen, the old devil that's tormenting you, that old spirit that wages warfare against you, let me tell you how to make them sick and make them leave you alone. Start praising God. Just start praising God. Bethel says, get depressed. Judah says, I'm going to praise God. Bethel says, there's too many against us. Judah says, I may be by myself, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Bethel says, there's no way. Judah says, Jesus is the only way. Come on, I need my band up here. I need the band. Come on. I want all the horn players. I want all the stringed instrument bangers. Give me both drummers. I want my singers. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas are beaten within an inch of their life. And it seems like there's no way out. It seems like that they're just bound up. And Brother Howard, there's no way that they'll ever get out. Silas looks over and says, well, Brother Paul, what are we going to do now? The spirit of Bethel said, we've done enough. We've had revival. We've had a move of God. But it's all right. Let's let our wounds heal. And let's mend here. You see, Bethel, when it gets in a tradition and it gets in a rut and it gets stale and it gets sour and it gets stagnant, it will always take a prison cell and let it be satisfied as a hospital. But Paul said, no way. I've still got some life in me. I've still got some gumption in me. I've still got something inside of me. I'm not giving up. I'm not laying down. I'm not going back. I'm not turning around. I refuse to surrender. And And he began to sing. I don't know what he sang, but it don't matter to God. Maybe he got to singing. I got that Holy Ghost down in my soul. Just like the Bible says. He said, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan. Oh, I don't know what he was singing, but maybe he got to singing. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the devil said, you're dying. You've had enough. Why don't you quit? Give it up. Never, 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 never. Go ahead, sister. My God. As a boy, I always said, there's nothing in a skirt that's going to beat me. But a skirt was the first one to get out there. We ought to feel this side up right now. We ought to feel this side.